We're doing Jewish history and we're up to Ezra. We had learned that Ezra was extremely humble. Ezra is the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. Ezra is going to lead the ascent of the Jews back to the Beit HaMikdash. Ezra was extraordinarily humble. Ezra was very learned. And Ezra made institutions which fashion Judaism the way we know it today. Ezra convened a court, an exceptional court of 120 rabbis, 120 scholars, known as the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly. So I'll challenge you. You tell me, how many things do we know that the men of the Great Assembly instituted? Okay, the 18 blessings of Shmona Esrei were reinstituted by the men of the Great Assembly. What else? Blessings, correct. The men of the Great Assembly were the ones that coined, actually in Hebrew it's called Matbea Shetaveu Chachamim. They coined the manner in which we make blessings. So the idea that we make a blessing in the morning, Shalasani Goy, Shalasani Avet, Shalasani Isha, Shakol Ni Abidvaro, Bore Priya Eitz, the format of the blessings was formed by the men of the Great Assembly. What else? What do you mean?
Like
That's already for Moshe Rabbeinu. Salachal Moshe Mizinai. So Netilat Yadayim was an institution of Shlomo HaMelech, and it was expanded by Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So that's not the men of the Great Assembly. I'm saying it began with Shlomo HaMelech Netilat Yadayim, and then it was expanded by Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So we have a verse in the 12 minor prophets, the 12 short prophets. The verse in Zechariah describes Harisha, the wickedness. And Zechariah, among all the prophets, is the most difficult prophet. Rashi writes, well, I'm not really sure how to interpret this book, but I'm going to try. So Zechariah is a hard book, Zechariah. Zechariah speaks about all kinds of things that happened and will happen. We're not always sure what he's talking about. So in Zechariah, we have a description which the Talmud elaborates on. So we'll do the Talmudic version of the story. The Talmudic version is, the men of the Great Assembly came to build the second Beit HaMikdash. And they said, what brought about the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash? Idol worship, right? We had Gilui, Arayot, Avodah Zarah, Shfichut Damim. So the major weakness was idol worship. So they said, we have to abolish the desire for idol worship. So they did a Kabbalistic thing. They went into the Beit HaMikdash, and they did something Kabbalistic, and then a fiery dog came out of the Holy of Holies. This dog of fire, a little lion of fire, came out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and they put it inside a special vessel, and they got rid of it. What does that mean? Right?
That wasn't after the destruction of the first temple?
Nope. Let's see. We'll do it from the Gemara. I hope I find it. So, just one second, where is that? I have to look for it. I'm not remembering right now. So, it's not, I don't want to take the time right now. I don't remember well enough where it is. No, it's here. Okay, I'll look it up and then we'll learn it. Zot Harisha. Don't bother. I'll find it for next class. So they closed it up. However, they did that, and that's why till today we don't find ourselves running after idol worship, or we don't wake up in the morning and have this great desire. Let me go build an altar for Zeus. And then they said that worked so well. according to some commentaries, it's aligned with prophecy. That so long as there was prophecy, so there was a desire for idol worship. The second the desire for idol worship was removed, so the ability for prophecy also went away with that, because Hashem always keeps a balance. You couldn't have prophecy without that desire. So if you don't have that desire, you don't have prophecy. Hashem created a world which is balanced. In Jerusalem was the Holy of Holies. In Jerusalem was the valley where people would burn their kids alive to idol worship. In Israel, the Talmud says, you had the greatest paganism. The paganism was greatest in Israel. In Chutz Naaretz, it says, they're all fakers. They don't really believe in it. They're not as ardent in their worship of paganism as in Israel. That's the Talmud. Talmud in Tractate of Avodah Zarah says that goyim shebechutz haaretz, they're just doing what their parents did. They're not really into it. Same thing Talmud says about Jews in Chutz Haaretz. It says they're just doing what their parents did. They're not really into it. It says in Israel, people have this fire. That's why when people make aliyah, they say, I'm going to try to stick to the parv way of Chutz Haaretz, where you don't have to define yourself, and it's okay. Why in Israel do you have to take sides? Everyone has to have an opinion, and it's a theory opinion. If you're left, you got to destroy the right's houses. Right? If you're right, then you're come on. Trump is little on us, right? He's not. look at our right. Right? You have a right. You have a left. Trump makes an immigration ban. Kahana said they must go. I'm saying it's Trump didn't dare say kick him out of the country. But I'm saying so in Israel there's a difference. Things are more fiery, more fired up, and the Talmud says it's that way in many ways. So coming back to the men of the Great Assembly, so the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah together with Ezra, they said that worked so well, let's do the next one, the desire for promiscuity. So however they did that, they captured that desire, and they were going to lock it up too. And they found that the next morning, chickens didn't lay eggs, all productivity in the world ceased. So they said, okay, I guess the reproductive desire is what spurns productivity, it's important, so we got to let it out, because otherwise things won't happen. It says no one would get married if not for that. The Gemara has a very... We like to think we're spiritual people, yes, so we are. But we're both. The Gemara says if you would think about it for a minute, marriage is not something you would run towards. Meaning your logic doesn't support the idea of marriage. It's our desire that leads us there. At the end of the day, it's a good thing. So I'll get to you in just a second. So the Talmud says they released the desire for promiscuity. They said that desire we have to release, but... They gave it some eyeshadow, meaning they gave a little bit of a little bit of an embalming to the eye. What does that mean? So Talmud says that before they did this whole thing, people would have tremendous desire for their daughter and their sister, and everything prohibited was the same. Meaning people wouldn't feel different with their desire for someone else as opposed to a relative. And after what they did, so people have an easier time with their daughter and their sister. They don't find themselves attracted the way they would be to someone else. That was an effect that they left on the world. So they did release that desire. What does it mean that they conquered the desire for paganism? So one of the commentaries, the Chasam Sofer writes, that the desire for paganism stemmed from a desire to connect to Hashem. And people felt like the only way they could do it was by bringing sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash in the temple. When they instituted, when they composed the Shmona Esrei, when they composed the 18 blessings, and they said, you pray to Hashem three times a day. So then what ended up happening was, people were connected to Hashem in their own home. You could live in France, and daven. You could live in San Diego, and daven. Wherever you are, you can connect to Hashem. We find throughout the first Beit HaMikdash, throughout the book of Melachim, the book of Kings, it says the people would set up their own private altar, and then they would devolve into paganism. Why were they setting up a private altar at home? Because you want to worship Hashem. I can't make it up to the Beit HaMikdash. If I live in the Golan, That's a week's journey. I'm going to leave my business a week going there, a week coming back, traveling by horse and buggy. It's a hard journey. So people couldn't do it. So then they felt like they have no connection to Hashem. When the men of the Great Assembly instituted Shemoneh Esrei three times a day, so then a Jew in all times, in all places, felt like he connects to Hashem. And then they didn't go after paganism. That's the Chassam Sofer's interpretation. So we're still dealing with the men of the Great Assembly. We have a lot more to discuss. We'll pick up here Bezrat Hashem in the next class. We still have to talk about the Hebrew alphabet. We have to talk about the institution of selling perfumes to women and jewelry to women, and how Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly brought about fidelity in the Jewish marriage, many different things that they instituted, to be continued, Bezrat Hashem, in the next class. Yes.